tonight I want to take just a few minutes to speak on the subject of manly sacrifice. And as we have been looking at the importance of marks of manliness, there is a high importance, really, as I hope that you will get just a glimpse, a shade of tonight, that really all of the things that we have taught on thus far or have been studying thus far in this series all require sacrifice. And so this is really one of the kind of all-encompassing areas. But here's what Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that includes females. Brethren is a term, male and female, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, I pray that you'd bless tonight in this time that we have to open up your word, very familiar passage of scripture, and yet I pray that its familiarity would not be lost upon us tonight, and the important necessity really for all of us to be a people who make our lives a living sacrifice. But in particular, and focusing in on the priority of manly sacrifice tonight, I pray that you would encourage men to be willing to lay their lives down, to be willing to give of themselves. And I pray that they would be willing to do that until their last breath. That they would have a kind of steadfast endurance in the way in which they sacrifice. That we would not allow pride to creep into our lives and make our lives about ourselves. But we would constantly be looking to you, Jesus, to make our lives about others. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you're new, we have been in a study on the marks of manliness on Sunday evenings and looking at how, in particular, men are to make manifest certain characteristics in their life. And I know that this flies in the face of the culture in which we have an ever-growing desire to muddle differences and to muddy the water about any kind of distinction between men and women, and that is something that is they want us to embrace an ideology that forsakes logic and reason and biology and reality. They want us to embrace an empty philosophy of deceit. And yet God wants us to be those who continue to stand faithful and steadfast, and who in a right way bear the marks, for those of you who are men, bear the marks of manliness as Christians in the midst of this culture. Now, it has been kind of one of the passions of my life and ministry to encourage biblical manliness. This is not something new. This is not just a series. We have tried to do this through many times teaching and preaching on various and sundry subjects that would apply to it. We have our own men's retreat every year, and have for now 11 or 12 years. We have a desire to build up the men in our church and to hold them accountable and to encourage them bearing the marks of manliness for those that are around them. We even, up until a few years ago, had a Boy Scout troop that we started and established in our church with that desire of older men taking opportunity to invest in younger men, kind of fulfilling that vision that was the vision of Boy Scouts many, many years ago with Lord Baden-Powell's initial founding of an organization to help with the epidemic of fatherless sons, fatherless boys, after various wars that were engaged in by the British Empire, and it was something to fill a need. And to make a point, and this is a point that is kind of about manliness in general, how our culture is going, we ceased and desist having a Boy Scout troop when they began to accept gay members into the membership of the Scout troop, and with the promise that they would never allow homosexual leaders, and within 2 years they allowed that, going contrary to what they had won victory of, and now just another year and a half later, and they have taken the word boy out of Scouts altogether. Because certainly we cannot teach in the Boy Scouts about what it means to be a man, because we live in a culture that recognizes or honors no distinction, and yea, makes it even wrong to identify distinction between men and women, between boys and girls. And I bring that up tonight to kind of make a point that's current and not just about this particular message, but to say this is the culture that we're in, and we must prepare for things to continue to go downhill and be willing to continue to stand on sound biblical reality. To stand on sound biblical, or let me just put it this way, sound biology, and to stand on sound logic, and to stand on sound reality in the midst of this generation. And if it doesn't begin here in the house of God, if we cannot define those things in the church, we are in big trouble. So what does it mean to be a man? As we began this series, and we've looked at now, this is the 10th subject or the 10th topic with regards to the subject of manliness, manly sacrifice. And as we have looked at this, we have examined that manliness is not kind of some worldly bravado. It's not men, you know, burping louder than other men. It's not about having the biggest 4x4 truck. It's not about having, you know, the most guns and things of that nature. That's not what the marks of true manliness is all about. Now, those things in and of themselves, besides maybe the rude one, are not wrong, right? But those are not what really makes a man of God manly in a biblical sense. But sacrifice does. Tonight I want to preach just for a few minutes on the importance of manly sacrifice and what it means to live for others above ourselves, because that's what sacrifice is. The very essence of what it means to bear the marks of manliness from a biblical perspective is living your life in a sacrificial way. To live in a virtuous way. Remember, the word manliness comes from the Latin virtus or virtuitus. It has the definition of being of having courage and bravery, strength and power, worth, virtue, character, and excellence. Manliness is this very essence of what God intended for men to be. The qualities Webster defines, the qualities of man, dignity, bravery, and boldness. These are things that God, I believe, desires us to fulfill in our lives as men. As we've looked at the different characteristics, or the marks, as I've defined them, the marks of manliness, think about them with me and ask yourself, is there any way to show courage, bravery, excellence in virtue, the very definition of what it means to be manly, or true strength of character without sacrifice? Just think of it. Can you have manly strength without someone or something to be strong for? It requires sacrifice. The strength is not for an end in of itself. The strength is not a physical kind of strength alone, looking in the mirror and admiring yourself. That's not strength, that's vanity. Strength, in a biblical sense, is something that is meant to be put on display for others. It's meant to be used on behalf of someone else. Whether that is to be used in all of these, we could say to be used in honoring God with our life, using our strength. We're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? We have a way in which we're called to sacrifice for what God has called us to do in our life, whatever that might be. And then we're called to use our strength for others. That requires sacrificing. We're sacrificing the expenditure, if you will, of our strength, both physically, spiritually, emotionally, the strength that God has given to us. It's meant to be expended for others. It's meant to be sacrificed for others, on others' behalf. Think of manly courage. Manly courage can only be displayed on behalf of others. When somebody survives something themselves, you don't usually hear people say, boy, they were courageous. Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't take any courage maybe to possibly do that, but usually you use the term courage, manly courage or courage, when it is expressed on behalf of others. The soldiers went to war, and they were very strong and courageous. Who was it for? You say, well, they were fighting for themselves. No, yes, but that was the secondary thing. They're fighting for others. It was Chesterton said that the man that fights is fighting for that which is behind him, not that which is before him. That's not an exact quote, but that's the generalized reference. Courage requires sacrifice. Manly wisdom can only be obtained through sacrifice. Think of this. Is there any achievement of wisdom apart from time, study, trials of life, experiences that require sacrifice? You have to sacrifice time. Somebody says, I just don't know a whole lot about Christianity. I just don't know a whole lot about our faith. But they're not willing to invest the time and energy and effort into studying and seeking wisdom and understanding. Like the book of Proverbs says, we're to search it out as if it were gold. Fine gold. We're to search out the scriptures and pursue wisdom. In fact, we're to forsake everything else to pursue wisdom. It's the principal thing. Remember? So if you're going to do that and you're going to pursue wisdom, it's going to require sacrifice. Ask any student that is going, Peter just passing his exam. Ask any student pursuing degrees or things of that nature. It comes with a cost. Now, I know that maybe is not the best illustration, but the worth or the value of that which is being obtained is worth the sacrifice of something else that is temporary and is less important. In fact, that's one of the ways you can define sacrifice, is the surrender or destruction of something prized for something or something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as more or higher in importance. You sacrifice one thing to gain something else. And that is true in the pursuit of wisdom. You may be a busy dad, and to pursue wisdom and the knowledge of God, you have to sacrifice some sleep so that you can spend time in the Word. You might have to sacrifice a hobby so that you can grow by reading a book. You might have to pursue sacrificing something to pursue wisdom. Manly responsibility can only be taken on behalf of others, and on behalf of what God calls us to. It requires sacrifice. When you take responsibility for something, you're saying the buck stops here, so to speak. The sacrifice is required. Now, this is just my introduction, okay? And I know I have to be brief, and I recognize that tonight. But I want you to see that all of the elements of the marks of manliness come back to this. They require sacrifice. Manly worship can only be offered to God, whom is deserving of our sacrifice of praise. In the day-to-day, in our personal time of worship and devotion before God, it requires sacrifice like the pursuit of wisdom, even things like honoring the Lord and making the Lord's Day a priority, making the worship of God a priority in our life, means other things that are less important have to be sacrificed, if you will, so that that focus of worship can be obtained. Because he's worthy and deserving of it. He is better than anything else we might pursue. And he calls us in our own walks, as we'll see tonight, spiritually, to make our life a living sacrifice as an act of worship and devotion to him. Manly provision can only be given to somebody who is dependent on sacrificial care. My wife, my children, in other ways, the congregation that I serve as a pastor, there is a requirement, if there is going to be diligent care for providing for the flock, there is going to be sacrifice given. You give your life to provide for others who are dependent upon your care. Manly fidelity can only be offered by giving yourself sacrificially to one in a relationship. Obviously, fidelity to God and fidelity to our spouse. It requires sacrifice. Not in the same sense or usage in that sense, but you give up all others. You give up every pursuit that your flesh or might desire, and you are focused wholly and solely on that which you have committed covenantally to. And then your whole life is to be about sacrificing for that one. Now, we're talking about men in fidelity, and the scripture is very clear in the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, as well as throughout the story of the scriptures, that there is a requirement of sacrifice following the example of Christ in laying our lives down for our spouses. That fidelity is something that is put into action. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as also Christ also loved the church and sacrificed," or gave himself for it. He gave himself for his bride, and we are to give ourselves sacrificially to our bride. And manly friendship can only be experienced when there is a display of love and loyalty and sacrifice on behalf of our friends. A friend that loveth at all times and a brother that's born for adversity is a friend that's been sacrificed for. That's why I said we don't really know true friendship as brothers, as men, until there has been sacrifice for the relationship, for the friendship. A giving up of something so that that relationship can be flourish. This is very important. Because our chief example in all of these messages that we have looked at as we come nearing the end of this sermon series, all of them have looked to the example of Jesus Christ and how he was strong and how he was courageous and how he was wise and how he was responsible and how he worshiped the Father and how he provided for his own, and how he is faithful or has fidelity, and how he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the willing sacrifice for us, and he has called us to be a living sacrifice for him. Romans 12, our text for tonight, says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Men, you are called in every area of your life to make sacrifice. To be, better said, as the Lord says, as we're taught in the scriptures, to be a living sacrifice. Yes, be willing to lay your life down even unto death, right? Greater love hath no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the example. Lay down our life for our wife, for our children. We should have that in us, be willing to give everything in sacrifice. But while we are living, God's called us to make our life a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God. And we come in Romans, the book of Romans, this glorious book about in the first 11 chapters, this glorious book about about sin, the sinfulness of man, the righteousness of Christ, the offering of Christ, about our redemption. And we come to the end realizing in Romans chapter 11, at the end, everything that we have is from God, everything that we have is to be done to God, and everything that we are to do is to be done for God and for His glory. And then He calls us in chapter 12 to take the gift that we have been given, to take the blessings that we have had bestowed upon us, to take the salvation that we have had bestowed upon us, and we are to give it away. We're to give it as give our lives rather as a living sacrifice. Romans 12 is where we find this example of an Old Testament picture of a sacrifice that's being offered, and then that sacrifice in verses 3 through 5 or excuse me verses 3 through 8 is revealing the gifts that are given to us as believers and how those are to be exercised or to be given, to be sacrificed on behalf of others, and then very practical instructions of how the Christian life and the Christian man and woman is to live with one another. But it begins with sacrifice. It begins with realizing you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And Christ does not call us to be a dead sacrifice, but a living one. So we must, if we're going to make our life a living sacrifice, we must, as the men God has called us to be, we must remember the mercies of God or the sacrifice of Christ that has redeemed us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. This is what bought us. This is what paid our price, and we need to remember that. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, in your life, because He is worthy of our sacrifice. What's He worthy of? Anything. Everything. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, he says, I beseech you. This is Greek parakaleo. Same word we looked at last week in the morning message. Parakaleo, to come alongside and to call, to encourage one another. He's encouraging, he's coming alongside, and he's begging the brethren to keep in mind the powerful working of the mercies of God in their life, that God has sacrificed on their behalf, that He did this by the means of His Son, Jesus Christ, who would lay His life down as the only acceptable sacrifice for sin. What is our example? It's Christ. Men, how are we to bear the marks of manliness? Look to Jesus and His sacrifice. How should we display our strength and our courage and our wisdom and our responsibility and our worship and our provision and our fidelity and our friendship? Like Jesus did, sacrificially in all things. He gave His life, literally, for ours. If you look up the definition, just even in your common dictionary of sacrifice, you'll find that the first one talks about the sacrifice of animals, plants, or people for the propitiation, the taking the place of another, and to pay homage to a deity. Well, God's wrath was satisfied alone by the propitiation or the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His Son. It was His life for ours. his death to purchase our life. That's what he sacrificed. And he calls us to, in turn, use that life that he has purchased with his own blood to be men who sacrifice for him and for others our lives. And we present our lives as a living sacrifice. This is, in the time that I have tonight, we don't have time to go into the depth and the detail, but in Romans chapter 12, as I have taught you before, Romans chapter 12 is using Old Testament sacrificial language and changing the sacrifice to remembering what Christ has fulfilled. He's fulfilled all that Hebrews 9 came, as 9 tells us about the greater sacrifice. He came once for all to pay the sacrifice, and yet he still uses the sacrificial language of an offering, but this offering is one that is to be a living offering. It's to present our bodies, our whole lives, our heart, soul, mind, and strength as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. Following his example of laying our lives down for others and to present our bodies, our lives, our talents, everything that we have for his holy service through sacrifice. To do this, it is important to remember that we are as men called to live holy lives. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. This doesn't mean in this case completely, right? It's the wrong spelling. This is talking about holy, set apart unto God. All of the attributes, all of the marks of man that we've looked at have that as a part of the understanding that we are to be holy men. We are to be set apart unto God. We belong to him. Our lives are called to be holy and separate lives unto God. Now we know that we're made holy or we're made righteous through the salvation that he gives to us. We have the imputed righteousness of Christ, right? That's part of the gift of salvation. And yet he has called us to have an active obedience of righteousness, of living holy lives. Be holy as I am holy, following his example. Men, there is something that we must remember. If we're going to properly live our life as a sacrifice, we need to remember that the requirement that God had for sacrifices in the Old Testament, the picture that's there, is that they had to be holy. God didn't allow the worst of the lambs to be offered. He didn't allow the lame to be offered. He wanted that which was pure, that was set aside for this purpose, to be given to him. He had demands that it would be clean and holy, and he desires us to be the same as men seeking to live holy lives in the midst of an unholy generation. Men who seek to live Christ-like lives in the midst of an unholy generation, because this is acceptable unto God, and he calls it our reasonable service. Not our extraordinary service, but our reasonable service. This is what is expected of a sacrifice. Say, well, I just don't know if I want to give that much. Jesus gave everything for you. At what point, as fathers, do we just get to throw in the towel and say, well, I've given enough to our kids? Or the husband to say, I've done enough, I'm giving up. No, we can't do that. Holiness requires and always requires active obedience in the life of the believer regarding our conduct as Christians to God, toward God and toward man. We must continue as men, if we are to bear the marks of manliness, to die daily and to make our life a living sacrifice so that we might live unto Christ. He has called us to live sacrificially. It is our reasonable service. It's acceptable to God. Holy living is that which He loves and expects from His followers. And it tells us a bit of how we are to live sacrificially or as living sacrifices in the world. And this is really important. In verse number 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are not to be a people that mimics or conforms to the world. René Girard, a French writer, philosopher, talks about a mimetic eye in which there's patterns that are seen. This is something I don't know a lot about, but I'm just beginning to learn about this, but it completely makes sense with regards to understanding even this passage of Scripture that God has called us to not be conformed to this world. And he speaks about the fact that the world around us is mimetic, it's looking at and it's mimicking that which they see. And that's the culture we live in, isn't it? How is it that we're mimicking the world around us? In just about every way. The way people think, the way people talk, the way people dress, the way people listen to music. I mean, all kinds of things. There is a mimicking of that which is seen around us. And God wants us to conform not to this world, but to be transformed and to be focused on His image, what He desires for us, and to be willing to live in a different and a distinct way in the midst of this culture and this generation. Now, obviously, there have been times and seasons where Christians have kind of focused on outward non-conformity, and it's been all on kind of external type things. This is really more on heart level kinds of issues. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now tonight, I'm only going to focus in these closing words on the importance of remembering that we're called to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And how are we going to continue to keep this on the forefront of our mind? By continuing to look to Jesus, who is the ultimate sacrifice, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured all things on our behalf. Now, let me just talk to you for a second. How many of you realize that if you, just practically speaking, stay out of the Word, stay out of church, stay away from Christian friends and relationship, and you just are immersed in the things of this world. You're immersed in your work. You're immersed in friendships with unbelievers. You're immersed. How many of you know, and you can say, you don't have to respond to this. This is a rhetorical question. How many of you know in your heart and mind that it's easy for you to lose the passion to say, I'm going to live for others. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to sacrifice myself. You begin to be focused more and more on you, and less on others, because you're conforming to what the world is telling you you should be about, which is you, instead of conforming to Christ or being transformed by Christ and for Him to exemplify to us that our life is to be about sacrificing for others. Being men who bear the marks of manliness requires sacrifice, and it is a sacrifice worthy of our lives. Revealing our strength and courage and wisdom and responsibility and worship and provision and fidelity and our friendship by being Christ-like in every situation and in every relationship, being willing to lay our lives down for others. That's what it means to be manly, to sacrifice. That's what Jesus says is our reasonable and acceptable service. Now, I know this passage applies to women. This passage applies to men. This passage applies to every believer. But tonight, I believe the leadership role that men have been given in families and in the church and really in our lives, we must be men who sacrifice like Jesus. Father, I prayed you'd bless tonight the teaching, the preaching, the truth tonight with regards to your call on our life to be men who sacrifice on behalf of others. Help us to recognize that there is no courage display. There is no virtue display. There is no strength truly displayed apart from sacrifice. And I pray that you'd help us to be men who are willing to lay our lives down for others. And to be willing to lay our life down for our King in all that we do. To make our lives a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.